Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air, KLW's weekly magazine of the performing arts here in the Bay Area. I'm your host, David Latulippe. This week I'll be talking with choreographer Sid Perlman about the world premiere of Economies of Effort 1, an evening-length dance exploring the virtues of self-reliance and the creative impulse. We'll also be talking with David Conte, composer, who will be sharing some of the music that will be performed at this Friday's Capella SF concert, which also features the music of Conrad Sousa. David Levenstein, director of Chamber Music San Francisco, talks about the concerts coming up of that organization. And critic Janos Gereben shares his critical picks for the weeks ahead in classical music, a new contributor to Open Air. Stay with us. Original music of Albert Mathias, which will be heard tonight in the world premiere of Economies of Effort 1, an evening-length performance exploring the virtues of self-reliance and the creative impulse. It runs through the weekend here in San Francisco at the Joe Good Annex on Alabama Street, then takes off to Santa Cruz from the 20th to the 22nd, and finally to Los Angeles for a performance on March 9th. Sid Perlman Performance Projects is proud to announce the world premiere of this work, choreographed by Sid Perlman of the eponymous Sid Perlman Performance Projects, and an original score composed and performed by Albert Mathias, which you heard briefly and we'll hear a little bit more of. Sid Perlman joins me today to talk about the work. Sid's choreography has, quote, subtly disrupted traditional notions of desire, gender, and friendship. Her work has been presented by numerous venues, including ODC Theater, Joyce Soho, the Getty Center, Theater Arto, and the Museum of Contemporary Art, San Diego. She returns to Estonia later this spring to spend a month creating a new work for a cast of 10 dancers. Sid's worked with other composers, such as Joan-Jean Renault, Jonathan Siegel, Erling Wold, and Haroon Tahir, and she currently teaches in the Theater Arts Department at UC Santa Cruz and the Dance Department at Cabrillo College. Sid, welcome back to Open Air to talk about this latest project.
It's so great to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
Well, let's talk first about Economies of Effort 1 and your concept behind the work.
Well, I'm really interested in making And the power that we get when we're able to contribute something tangible or intangible to creative discourse. And so I found myself with a cast of all women dancers, which is not necessarily usual for me, but is the default in dance. And so I was wondering what I could do that would be unique. And I thought that if we could build something together, tangible, and build a dance together, that we could say something about agency and subjectivity. And it's been a really fascinating project.
Well, it's called Economies of Effort 1. Is that implying that there's more to this piece coming down the road?
Yeah, it's part of a triptych of dances. This is the first section, and this is about 40 minutes. I'll be building the second section in Estonia with an Estonian cast, and I'm really looking forward to that. And then I'll be doing a third section in which, in an ideal world, I'll actually be able to bring both casts together, and that will happen probably in 2016. And then I'll be able to show all three works in festival style, one after the other.
Neat. Well, let's back up a little bit to your work in Estonia. It sounds like it was a very fruitful thing when you first went, so this is a result of the connections you made there.
It was. I was a Fulbright scholar there in 2009-10, and I was teaching at Tallinn University and also working with local dancers. And I had a great year there. I got to teach. I got to learn a lot about Estonian culture. I produced an academic conference, Imagining Bodies. And then when I came back to the States, I was able to bring my Estonian cast over. And we had a mini tour of California where they performed This Is What We Do in Winter, which was a piece we made together. And then I also produced their works and their choreographies because they're all quite talented themselves. So it's been a... And I've been back three or four times now. So Estonia's become really part of my life.
You've also been twice awarded a Gerasi Resident Artist Fellowship. We should talk about that, having just lost the great Carl Gerasi this week.
Yeah, he made such great contributions to the lives of artists in a variety of disciplines. And the Gerasi Ranch, where I had the honor of being, I think, in 2002 and 2008, plays a great part in my creative process, giving me the time and the space to explore new ideas without the pressure of producing something. And I also met Denise Lido, who I was here with last time when we did Your Body is Not a Shark at Gerasi. And so Your Body is Not a Shark, my last major work, was an outshoot of my Gerasi residency.
I had Carl on a few months back to talk about his work as a playwright, as well as, you know, father... co-founder of the co-creator of the birth control pill. We were actually going to talk in March at the Jewish Community Center together, but it's too bad we lost him.
He made many contributions in a variety of fields.
He did indeed. Now, you're currently teaching at UC Santa Cruz, which is quite a center for dance. We talked last time you were on about what's going on down there. Tell us more about what your work is involved
down
there.
Yeah, a lot is happening in Santa Cruz. You know, there's been a strong program there over the years, both at UC Santa Cruz and at Cabrillo. You know, Tandy Beal has been in Santa Cruz for years helping build what's going on there. And we had a lot going on at UC Santa Cruz, especially when Mel Wong was there. And I think the program there is very strong right now. And they recruited a new technique teacher as well, Gerald Cassell, who maybe someday you'll have on your show. And Santa Cruz is a really great place for dance. There's a lot of room and a lot of possibility. And because there's so many other artists, there's a lot of potential for interdisciplinary work.
You'll be performing Economies of Effort 1 down in Santa Cruz from the 20th to the 22nd at Motion Pacific. Is that your regular venue for performing?
It is. We've been in residence there for the last 5 months building the piece, and it has an interesting structure that allows us to work site-specifically within a theater. It's very flexible. So this piece that we're doing now is in the round, and the last piece we did there was on many different levels using all sorts of nooks and crannies. And so we get a lot of support from the theater that makes it possible for us to really spend time building works, which is unique for a dance company that's often really worrying about every dollar that you're spending for rehearsal time.
That brings me to the issue of going down to L.A. to perform. Have you done that frequently? To me, it would seem like going into a beehive of activity, which can be good and it can be probably the chance of getting lost in the shuffle. How do you keep your presence there?
Well, you know, I was down there for 7 years, and so I had my company down there, and I was really involved with High Waist Performance Space and founded a series called Max 10 Performance Laboratory at the Electric Lodge and went to grad school at UCLA. So I have a community down there, and I really like the LA dance community very much. We're also performing at a place called Peter Performance Space, which is very unique. It's kind of a hip loft space, and they do no monetary donations. So people come and they donate to the bar or they donate to the free thrift store. And so in terms of ideas of thinking about economy and economies of effort, their philosophies are very much in line with the philosophy of the piece. It's a one-night gig. They're presenting us. No money's exchanged, but I think the people who I want to see in my work in LA will be there It's a very community-oriented space, so it really works for us.
Talking with Sid Perlman of Sid Perlman Performance Projects about Economies of Effort 1, which is presented this weekend here in San Francisco at the Joe Good Annex, and then ends up in Los Angeles on March 9th. Information at sidperlman.org, sidperlman.org. Sid, last time you were on, we talked about your collaboration with Joan Jean Renault. And you have quite a commitment to working with contemporary composers. How did you first meet up with Albert Mathias?
You know, I've been following Albert's work for a really long time. He was the musical composer with Contraband in the 1980s and 90s, and his work just knocked my socks off. And then he went on to work with B.B. Miller and won a Bessie for a project that he did with her. He's done a variety of projects. The Bessie is the New York Dance Award. And then he's been working with Kathleen Hermsdorf, his collaborative partner. So I'd been waiting for the right project really to work with Albert on, and this was it. And what's interesting is Albert usually plays live, and so it was an interesting challenge for him to come down to rehearsals, come to Santa Cruz, and be able to capture that live and spontaneous feeling and sitting in with us and tailoring the music to the dance. It's one of the most tailored pieces I've had to a piece of work. He's really paid great attention to the detail in the mix, but also he can't be there when we perform because that's part of making this economical. Not only is it an economy of effort in terms of the dancers build the set, they run the sound and the lights, but it also makes that it possible for us to tour the work because we control everything. So, you know, we don't need a support team. We are our own support team. So that's been very empowering for the dancers as individuals, that they really, as women of a variety of ages, are in control of their own destiny. They are the subjects of their own narrative. And then for us as a dance company, it's incredibly empowering for me because I don't have to worry about 2 expensive tech days and then seeing what the show might look like. We tech it as we go along. So we've been lighting it and designing the set, and Robbie Schoen has made just a set that knocks my socks off.
Well, part of your press release shows a very evocative image of Cynthia Strauss, photographed by Beau Saunders. I'll hold it up to the microphone so our listeners can see it. She's on top of 2 sawhorses on a box holding a drill that's not plugged into anything. Now, this must be a very visually interesting work to present then.
It is. I mean, I think that it lives somewhere between dance, performance art, and museum installation. We actually imagine a longer version where you see the dancers construct everything and take everything apart.
Well, it looks like part IKEA Home Depot too then, right?
Absolutely, because we want it to be tangible and things that you can imagine doing yourselves. It's important, I think, that we see women making things and not just being consumers or not just being objects themselves, but that they can make an impact in the world through tangible or intangible contributions.
How many dancers are then therefore involved in this
work?
There
are 5 dancers, and they range in age from 21 to 49.
Very nice. And Economies of Effort 1, are you already at work on 2 and 3, or you have other projects in between?
Well, I leave for Estonia March 23rd, which is just a couple weeks after the LA gig, and then my first rehearsal start just a couple days later. And in that case, the idea of economy has as much to do with how we build the piece as the content. I'm working with couples who have real relationships, so a mother and a daughter, a couple who are romantically involved, 2 different sets of best friends. One is 2 women, one is a man and a woman. And they'll make individual duets, so I don't have to rehearse with everybody all at once. And then I will cut and intersplice that material, switching out who does what and trying to create a more complex polity. When you have 2 intimate people doing work, what happens if you change out and put someone who is more a stranger in it?
Well, it sounds like you got a very creative spring coming up.
Absolutely. I think I come out the wormhole in June.
There you go. Thanks for coming in today, Sid.
My pleasure.
That's Sid Perlman. Sid Perlman Performance Projects presents Economies of Effort 1, an evening-length performance exploring the virtues of self-reliance and the creative impulse. This weekend at the Joe Good Annex, 401 Alabama Street, then down in Santa Cruz later this month in L.A. at the beginning of March. Information at cidperlman.org. Still to come here on Open Air, I'll be talking with Daniel Levenstein, director of Chamber Music San Francisco, as well as composer David Conte. Janos Gerben also shares his classical music picks for the month ahead. Here's more music of Albert Mathias from Economies of Effort. Thank you. Part of Sid Perlman's performance of Economies of Effort 1. Information at Sid Perlman, CIDPERLMAN.org. Good afternoon, David Latulipe with you here on Open Air, our weekly magazine of Bay Area performing arts scene. A talk next with Daniel Levenstein, who is director of Chamber Music San Francisco. They kick off their 2015 concert series with a breathtaking performance by one of the world's leading violinists, Renaud Capuçon, accompanied by internationally acclaimed pianist Katia Bunashchevili. Close. I think I got that one close. Daniel's here to help me with my pronunciation and to tell me more about these concerts. Hi, Daniel. Welcome to Open Air.
Thanks for having me.
How'd I do on Katia's name?
You came pretty close.
Okay.
I would call it Katia Bunashchevili.
You can call it that.
Yes.
I'll let you.
She is from Georgia.
Uh-huh.
And it's going to be a very interesting performance. These are two very well-known artists in their own right as soloists, but they're extremely different. Renaud Capuçon is what you would call refined, noble kind of musician, whereas Katia is volatile, she is earthy, she's practically volcanic when she performs soloistically. And so when they perform on February 15th at Marines Memorial Theater, it will be interesting to see what the chemistry is between them.
Also performing at the Lesher Center in Walnut Creek and in Palo Alto on the 16th.
That's true. And these three concerts together is a distinctive feature of our concert series. There are not any other organizations in the country and probably in the world who do three-city partnership like this. And our organization is Chamber Music San Francisco.
And you've done some fine work. The 2015 season looks very ambitious.
Thank you, sir.
We'll come back to this concert in a moment, but tell us a little bit more about what's happening later in the season.
Well, a very interesting and fun program we'll have is the four seasons of Vivaldi and Piazzolla. Piazzolla is the tango composer who composed a work called The Four Seasons of Buenos Aires.
I know it well. It's a wonderful piece.
Isn't it great? And so we will have two small bands on stage, and they will alternate. We'll have the spring of Vivaldi. We'll have the spring of Piazzolla. And it's unusual to have a harpsichord and a bandoneon sharing the stage. That's the tango accordion. That will be happening at Marines Memorial Theater in April.
April 19th, featuring Kay Stern and Dawn Harms.
Correct.
I know Dawn well. She's the new music director of the Bay Area Rainbow Symphony, for which I play. She's got a concert coming up. We'll have her on next month.
Fabulous. And Kay Stern, of course, is the concert mistress of the San Francisco Opera Orchestra.
Not too shabby for soloists on that one.
It'll be fun.
And then later, the Brandenburg Concertos in May. That's it should be a wonderful concert.
Yes, we strive to have that every year on Mother's Day, and we've succeeded in engaging. It's a wonderful group called Archetti. They do early music style performances, and people seem to love them. Again, our organization is Chamber Music San Francisco.
chambermusicsf.org, talking with Daniel Levenstein about the 2015 season schedule, which gets underway this a week from Sunday, February 15th at Marines Memorial Theater, with additional performances in Walnut Creek and Palo Alto. It looks like you're going to have Augustin Hadalich as well, who was a guest of Open Air when he was soloing with the San Francisco Symphony a couple seasons back.
Terrific.
And he'll be making his San Francisco recital debut.
That's right. He will be performing with the Van Cliburn Silver Medalist, Joyce Yang. And apparently they're excited to collaborate together. He's flying out from Europe specifically for this performance. And I anticipate that a fine time will be had by all. He is noted for his sumptuous tone, and he's extremely individual in his interpretations. He'll be doing an interesting program. It's not just the standard repertoire. And I think that there will be some brain food as well as things for the ear. He'll be doing Stravinsky, Schumann, Izai, Janacek, and Previn, Andre Previn.
Sounds like an ambitious program.
Yes, it will be. I think it'll be good.
And again, this Sunday's performance will feature Reno Capuçon and Katia Bunatashvili.
By the end of this segment...
Bunatashvili.
And actually, it is not this Sunday. It is the following Sunday, the 15th.
15th of February. Information
correct.
At chambermusicsf.org.
Yes.
Daniel, we do have some of the artistry of Reno Capuçon performing some Bach. Here's an excerpt from the Bach Concerto, Violin Concerto from 2008.
Terrific.
A terrific program of coming up on the 15th, as well as this full season of... wonderful chamber music through Chamber Music San Francisco, and I thank you for sharing some of that. We'll definitely have you back to talk about these other concerts coming up.
Thanks so much.
Music performed by Reno Capuçon, featured on the 15th of February here in San Francisco at the Marines Memorial Theater. Reno Capuçon performing the Bach Violin Concerto from a 2008 recording. We heard on the 15th of February with Chamber Music San Francisco performing works by Dvorak, Grieg, and Franck. Those concerts also performed not only at the Marines Memorial Theater on the 15th of February, but at the Lesher Center in Walnut Creek on the 14th, and on the 15th at the Oshman JCC in Palo Alto. Good afternoon, David Latulipe with you for Open Air here on KLW. Still to come, Janos Gerben will share his classical music picks for the month ahead, and I'll have a brief tribute to oboist Jim Matheson, who passed away recently. Jim was a good friend. He was former oboist with the Stanford Wind Quintet and with the San Francisco Opera. My next guest, David Conte, is currently professor of composition and chair of the composition department at the San Francisco Conservatory of Music. He's written works for Chanticleer, the San Francisco Symphony Chorus, as well as the Dayton, Oakland, and Stockton Symphonies, the American Guild of Organists, Sonoma City Opera, and the Gerbaud Foundation. He counts six operas among his opi, and he has also composed songs for singers Barbara Bonney, Thomas Hampson, and Phyllis Byrne-Jolson. His work is represented on many commercial CD recordings, and he's also a Fulbright Fellow, as my previous guest was. David studied with the great Nadia Boulanger in Paris, where he was one of her last students. He and I have Ithaca, New York, as an interesting concentric circle. He received advanced degrees from Cornell, and I did my undergrad work in music at Ithaca, on the other hill in Ithaca, New York, at Ithaca College. In 2014, David was named composer in residence with Capella SF, a professional chorus in San Francisco, which presents several of his works tomorrow evening, February 5th, at the San Francisco Conservatory of Music, for a free concert of his works called Capella SF Sings Sousa and Conte, which includes the music of Conrad Sousa, who recently left us, and is conducted by, I guess I can now say, a frequent guest of this program, Ragnar Bolin. David, welcome to Open Air.
Good afternoon, David. Glad to be here.
You were articulating a correction, were you?
You just said February 5th, and it's February 6th.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's quite all right.
Today's the 5th, isn't it?
That's right.
Tomorrow the 6th. You've got three works represented on this program, in addition to a Whitman triptych, Invocation and Dance, and a work called The Composer. Let's talk about those works.
Well, when I was putting together this program, I had in mind, after Conrad passed away, sadly, in November of 2013, I did see very, very much that I had a certain responsibility to keep his work alive. And, you know, in today's world, there's more and more product, to use a word, all the time kind of covering over what's already been created. And I think it takes an extra effort to keep a composer kind of alive. And I believe so strongly in Conrad's work, and I was so closely associated with him. And so I was trying to pick the works that would complement his and that actually had a connection to his work. And we're 20 years apart. When we met in 1986, I had just finished writing a piece called Invocation and Dance, which is one of the pieces on the program, which is, I would say, it's 30-year-old work. It's a young composer's work. And Conrad was just writing his Landscapes and Silly Songs, a set of choral pieces on texts of Garcia Lorca.
And that will be on Friday's program.
And that's on the program as well. Also, the Capella SF is such a versatile group. They really can do a wide range of kinds of music. So we wanted to have some unaccompanied music and also some music with piano and with instruments. The Invocation and Dance is with piano and percussion. And we actually recorded all of this repertory for a commercial CD. And we did this in kind of reverse order because I wanted very much to do the recording in our concert hall at the conservatory because it's such a wonderful room to record in. And it's also very much in demand, and we weren't able to get it until after the concert or before the concert date. So we've made the recording already, and tomorrow night we'll be performing the repertory that's on the CD.
Fantastic. So while we're on Conrad's piece, we talked about the Landscapes and Silly Songs based on texts of Lorca, you said?
That's right.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Lorca was important to Conrad. He wrote an opera, which we did actually at the conservatory a few years ago, The Loves of Dom Perlimplin, and he also... there's another work on... Oh, yes, a piece called The Cricket Sings for Men's Chorus, a wonderful piece, which was the first piece of his that I ever heard. Before I met him, I heard his music.
When I was at Brooklyn College, we did his opera Transformations, which
yes,
was unusual really to do, and it's a wonderful work.
His most widely performed work.
Hmm. So back to your music, a Whitman triptych.
Well, this is a piece, you know, sometimes composers will take time to kind of compile works to make a bigger work. So A triptych means, of course, three pieces. The first piece was written for the Madison Chamber Choir in Wisconsin in 2012, setting of the text, O Setting Sun. And then soon after that, I had a commission from our local International Orange Chorale to write a piece for the 75th anniversary of the Golden Gate Bridge. And for that, I found a great text called Facing West from California's Shores, also by Whitman. So I had these two pieces, and they were both done in 2012, but they were kind of, I saw them as bookends, and I wanted something in the middle. And so I just wrote What is the Grass, actually, in December, especially for Ragnar and Capella SF. And so that now makes this triptych, which is kind of adds a little bit of a symphonic scope. I hope it's about 14 minutes long in three movements. So it actually is a world premiere tomorrow of all three together.
Oh, neat.
In the intended order.
Well, how fortunate you are to be working with Ragnar Bolin. I mean, you're a conductor yourself. I mean, you're a composer as well as a conductor. What has he brought to your music that you said, oh, wow, I hadn't thought of that?
Well, you know, I was just reflecting on this as I thought about our recording sessions and how little I had to say to Ragnar. Of course, he's working very hard. He's really brilliant at keeping the focus and attention going and fixing things and keeping, you know, a very good working environment, but at catching everything with his very fine ear. So we actually didn't have to talk that much. I feel he very much intuitively understands my work. And we were colleagues together as conductors at the conservatory for a couple of years because he's been conducting our chamber choir. And I was doing the large chorus until just this year, and now he's doing that as well. So he's a colleague in several ways, I would say, which is wonderful.
Indeed. The concert is tomorrow, the 6th of February, at the San Francisco Conservatory of Music, 8 p.m. It's a free concert, sfcm.edu, for more information about the concert, which is Capella SF sings Sousa and Conte, Conrad and David, respectively, concert tomorrow evening. Now, David, you've got some interesting things coming up in February. Your Sinfonietta for classical orchestra will be done by the Symphony Orchestra in Augusta.
Yes, in Georgia, right? Augusta,
yes,
Georgia.
Indeed.
This is certainly a premiere of an orchestral work of mine in that state, and that's always exciting. This is a piece I wrote for the Atlantic Classical Orchestra in Florida with Stuart Robertson, who conducts at Hidden Valley in Carmel and did one of my operas a couple years ago. And so I'm excited about that. And I'm really excited about actually the U.S. Marine Band playing what is a transcription of an orchestra piece called The Copeland Portrait, a piece I wrote at the Millennium in 2000, which was the 100th anniversary of Copeland's birth.
Oh, neat.
And I knew Copeland well, and so
it
was
nice.
A tribute piece to him. And so the band is going to be playing. This is my first piece for wind ensemble.
Nice. Is it sort of a play on a Lincoln portrait, a Copeland portrait?
Well, you know, Conrad Sousa provided me with that title, and I love the title. It's an interesting piece. I'd say it's more like Stravinsky's the Pergolesi piece, The Fairy's Kiss. No, that's not it. Pulcinella. Sorry, wrong piece. It's a tribute to a composer that I tried to assimilate certain influences from Copeland through my own musical personality and put them together in a kind of 8-minute overture. And I always thought when I wrote it that it would work for wind ensemble. It's tricky to transcribe orchestral music for winds, and I think often what works best is music that has a certain energy and has a lot of fast tempi, and that's true of this piece.
And tell what is it like writing for winds then, as opposed to an orchestral or chamber setting? Is it,
well, you know,
think about instruments differently.
It's much more challenging because you don't have the variety, you know. And the strings have always been the core of the orchestra. The string instruments have changed almost not at all from when they were first designed. Whereas the modern trumpet and horn are almost unrecognizable as instruments. They can do so many things that, you know, say the instruments that Beethoven was writing for couldn't do. So, but, you know, I like very much the idea that wind ensembles are in every college, every school, every high school, and reaching that audience. I'm excited to now have a piece that's going to reach a lot more people.
When I hear contemporary music, and that's a broad brush, I know, let's say late 20th, early 21st century music, I so wish that composers would say, I feel like going up to someone and say, haven't you studied the music of Rimsky-Korsakov and the way he orchestrates? Haven't you studied Shostakovich? It seems like so many people aren't using the palette of the orchestra as fully as they can. I'm wondering where you learned your use of orchestration.
I think that's very insightful, and I agree completely. And Rimsky is definitely my model. I always tell my students, of all the many fine orchestration books written, I personally learned the most from Rimsky's book, which has as examples only his music. I think that composers today, because of the new technology, which is both great and one must be mindful of, to not be at the effect of the technology, composers are composing more and more, particularly for the orchestra, what I call from the outside in, kind of building it from the outside and layering it, rather than working, say, the way Tchaikovsky worked, which was from a kind of blueprint of a piano or two piano score or sketch out of which they imagined the orchestra and imagined it brilliantly. This is how Rimsky worked. It's how Stravinsky worked and Debussy and Ravel and also Copland. And they're all my models.
Very nice. And I should also give a little shout out to an opera of yours that'll be performed later this spring out in South Carolina. Is that also a new venue for you? Your Firebird Motel opera in one act.
Yeah, that's an opera I wrote for a wonderful theater company, Thick Description. They commissioned it in 2003, and I certainly haven't had an opera performed in South Carolina yet, I don't think. Only one of my operas has really had a lot of productions, The Gift of the Magi. I've had nearly 30.
Nice.
Firebird, this might be the fifth or sixth, I'm not sure.
And what's the inspiration behind that work, Firebird Motel?
It was an interesting project that was based both on the Firebird legend, which is the basis of the Stravinsky ballet, and the film Touch of Evil. And it was original libretto by David Yezzi, who's a very fine poet who now teaches at Johns Hopkins. And that was our first collaboration. It's a kind of pulpy, noirish one act that I'm very proud of.
Sounds like a winner. I'm not going to go to South Carolina to see it.
Yes.
I'll wait for SF Opera to pull it up for the chamber version. So beyond this wonderful performances that are coming up this spring, what are you working on as a composer right now?
You don't have
to be working on something now. Preface it that way. You've been taking a break.
I have been taking a bit of a break from composing after being really busy for over 25 years. I'm now, being chair of the composition department, my focus is there at the moment. But I'm thinking I very much want to write a concerto. And I thought, well, who is the player that I know the best for whom I would write a concerto? I've not written a concerto, and that would be David Higgs, who used to live here, played many wonderful organ concerts at Davies, played with the San Francisco Symphony, and a musician that I've had a long association with. And so I'm kind of starting to think about an organ concerto, and I'm studying some of the great concertos in the repertory. And
well, think about a flute concerto, too. We'll get to know each other better.
I love the flute.
I'd love to see someone work with some of the lower flutes, too, like the alto and the bass flute. And so we'll talk.
Yeah,
we'll,
the flute has a really large emotional range, I think.
We'll definitely talk.
Great.
David Conte's works are going to be performed and represented at Capella SF Sings Sousa and Conte, music of Conrad Sousa and Conte, performed, conducted by Ragnar Bolin. Tomorrow evening, the 6th of February, at the San Francisco Conservatory of Music. Information at sfcm.edu. David, thanks so much for coming in today and sharing your music.
My pleasure, David.
And thank you very much for keeping the music of Conrad Sousa alive.
It's a privilege. Thank you.
We're going to go out with music of yours. This is from the dance from Invocation and Dance. Even though you just said goodbye, tell us a little bit about this dance that we're going to hear.
Well, this piece was commissioned by the San Francisco Gay Men's Chorus in 1986, and it's one of my most performed works. It was a response to the kind of gathering AIDS crisis, and it's been described even as one of the first pieces, even though it's not specifically about that. It is about Whitman's view of death, life and death, and an acceptance of death and even embracing of it. The version you're going to hear is actually for men's chorus. And one thing that's great about the concert tomorrow is I've been wanting for a long time to have a really good recording for mixed chorus. The piece is performed less in that version, and now we're going to have it with Ragnar, which is great. But this is the University of Michigan Men's Glee Club, one of the finest men's choruses in the country, still performing this piece. It's for piano, four hands, two percussionists, and men's chorus. And you'll hear it tomorrow night in the version for mixed chorus.
The music of David Conte.
Thank you.
Music of David Conte there, performed by the University of Michigan Men's Glee Club. His Invocation and Dance to be heard Friday evening, tomorrow evening, as part of Capella SF sings Sousa and Conte at the San Francisco Conservatory of Music. Information about that free concert at sfcm.edu. David LaTulipe here. A pleasure to welcome as a new contributor to this hour of the day of KLW's broadcast schedule, Janos Gerabin, who's been a longtime contributor to sfcv.org. Here on KLW, you've heard him probably call into your call on more than one occasion, and he's a frequent panelist on Minds Over Matter with Dana Rodriguez on Sunday evenings. Janos, welcome to Open Air.
Thank you.
Well, I asked for a brief bio of you, and you said you wanted to introduce yourself. So please introduce yourself to the audience of
No,
Open
David,
Air.
What I said was I'd rather not.
Too late. It's committed to the airwaves now.
Let
we
me
want to know
the
who you are.
Minimum daily requirement on that. I'm from Hungary, and as soon as I learned English, so to speak, I joined the New York Herald Tribune. Greatest paper in the world was as a copy boy, copy person, and miraculously I became a copy editor, a position from which I've been declining ever since. music and arts editor positions followed in Honolulu, Seattle, the Mercury News, and the Oakland Post. For the past decade and a half, my main outlets have been the Examiner and the SF Classical Voice, 15 years of weekly music news besides features and reviews. And now let's get to some interesting stuff. Item one. It's an absolutely amazing story, is Pocket Opera. For 38 years, Donald Pippin has been doing miracles without funds. And now, just last week, he had to do it without nothing. What happened Saturday night, they had Lucia di Lammermoor scheduled for Super Bowl Sunday, which was not a very good idea. And they had a truck with all the stuff which was broken into the night before.
Oh, my.
And everything taken. Now, you have to be insane to take Lucia's blood-stained nightie and but they were left this is the Legion of Honor, and they were left without anything: costumes, props, equipment, music stands, and they went on and had a damn good performance. Production manager Nicholas Aliaga wrote to me, "I hope the thief enjoys watching the Super Bowl in a bloody nightgown and kilt." So they made a sort of general appeal for not only contributions, but also things like a piano bench for Donald Pippin, Scottish sporrans, which are pouches for the pocketless kilts, tombstones, styrofoam tombstones, and whatever you can think of. And so the point is that they are going to perform again, Lucia, on the 8th, which is next Sunday, I believe, in the Legion of Honor, and then on the 15th in Berkeley, at the Berkeley Hillside Club. If I may, I'd like to give their email address.
Sure.
So that you can look to see what you can do. I understand this is a public radio station, so such public-minded plugs would be permitted.
Please do, but just watch your language.
Okay. it's pocketopera.org, and to write directly, it's info@pocketopera.org.
Well, let's hear a little bit of the music from Lucia.
Right, and this is with Natalie Dessay.
And we'll then more with Janosz Gerben. Music from Lucia. I can't help but sing in a little bit. I wish we had more time to perform to hear some of that incredible music from Lucia.
I'd like to mention that the pocket cast is excellent. The a title role is sung by Rabiha Dunn, who made her local debut last year in the Pearl Fishers. And she is quite wonderful.
If you're just joining us here on Open Air, you're listening to the debut of Janosz Gerben on Open Air here on KLW, our weekly performing arts magazine. Janosz will be, we hope, a frequent contributor to this program.
You already heard from David Levenstein about the...
Daniel Levenstein, as
Daniel,
I'm sorry. Incorrectly called in my name as well.
Chamber Music San Francisco.
And a couple of your picks involved a couple of guests we had
concert,
today.
Especially because the pianist, I don't know if he mentioned, is the Georgian equivalent of Yuja Wang.
Please, you'll do it much better.
Katya Buniashvili.
All right.
Yeah. And what I want to tell about her is a friend of mine, a great music lover, wrote to me after my review of Bunny that I have rarely, if ever, seen hands like hers. Breathtaking. The musicianship is astounding as well, and comparisons with Martha Argerich are in order, starting with her strength, precision, fire, and focus. Martha Argerich's hands are odd. Yuja's are incomprehensible. But Katya's are almost frighteningly perfect. And so on to the last item, given our limited time. And that is, we are talking about February. So I would like to take a big leap forward and go to June 7, when San Francisco Opera will premiere Berlioz's Les Troyens.
Donald Runickel is coming back to conduct that.
Yes, It's a very special thing because not only was the last production in San Francisco almost 50 years ago, but the current production, a co-production with the English National Opera, was first scheduled in 2001 when Pamela Rosenberg became general director, and she used her first press conference to announce it. 2 years later, she used another press conference to announce postponement, and then she left. David Gockley came in, and he said he is going to do it. So here we are in 2015, and it's happening in June with a wonderful, wonderful cast, including the perhaps leading tenor, well, one of the leading tenors of the day, of whom I think we have a cut from his current new CD of French arias.
I'm afraid we'll have to save that for another time.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
So why talk about it now? Very quickly, it's availability of tickets. If you go on sfopera.com and go to the June 7 performance, the seat map is the only one that's a matinee, meaning it runs from noon to 6. All performance, other performances run from 6 to midnight.
Oh, my gosh. It's a commitment.
And if you go to June 7 today, you will find no tickets left in the orchestra. So what I'm saying is that go and do it now. Get a ticket. And also, if you do it now for one of the other performances, you can save hundreds of dollars by not taking Opera Center for $300, but Opera Side for $130.
Great.
Or Balcony for $35.
Great tip from Janos Gerben. We'll have you again to talk about the Berlioz, I'm sure, as the weeks and months go on. Thanks for coming in today, Janos.
My pleasure.
We'll see you again. A brief tribute now to oboist James Matheson. He held the position of principal oboe with the San Francisco Opera starting in 1962. A member of the San Francisco Symphony from 62 to 1980. He was principal oboe in the Portland Symphony prior to that and toured with the Boston Pops under Arthur Fiedler. I've had the great pleasure to play with him quite often in orchestral settings. Jim graduated from the San Francisco State University. He performed with the San Francisco Woodwind, the Stanford Woodwind Quintet for many years and recorded with them. I have a recent CD cut from a works of Robert Mozinski that Alexandra Hawley put together, including the Woodwind Quintet of Mozinski. Alexander Hawley also does some duets with Jean-Pierre Rampal on this recording on the Naxos label. Here's the slow movement, movement two from the Woodwind Quintet of Robert Mozinski. Jim, it's been such a pleasure playing with you. I do hope you're playing some wonderful oboe where you are now. Just a little bit of the oboe there in Robert Mozinski's second movement for Quintet for Woodwinds, Opus 45, on the Naxos label. Jim Matheson, oboist there. Rest in peace, Jim. We will definitely hear more from you at some point. I'm David LaTulipe. It's Open Air here on KALW. Our shows are archived at kalw.org. Thanks to Neil Swinkels for producing this show. BBC NewsHour is next.